So this is Forrest Cottrell. Today's date is 10/25, and the topic today is the wisdom of men. Obviously, it is something that we need to be in prayer about as we think about this upcoming election, and I won't spend too much time there. But let me start off with reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, and we have a lot to take a look at today. I don't know that I'll get through all of it, but it'll be pretty fast-paced, so if you can't keep up, I'm sure that either Tony or Chip can post this, and you can take a look at it at another time. But let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. This is Paul speaking. Declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in this wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, this is where our study will start. But let's look at verse 6 as he goes on. Paul goes on to talk about wisdom. Howbeit we speak wisdom among you, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Okay, get that point? Wisdom of the world, wisdom of the princes or the rulers of the world comes to naught, to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained for the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, several references there to wisdom, specifically man's wisdom, or the wisdom of the world, or the wisdom of princes, as compared to that which is provided by the Holy Spirit. So the purpose of this study, should we be listening to the wisdom of men, or, as verse 5 says in 1 Corinthians 2, should we rely on the power of God? And I hope to be able to prove one way or the other very easily. And to do so, I enlisted the help of my beautiful spouse, Kathleen, to help me with looking up references specifically in the book of Job. Because if you remember the background of the book of Job, Job is tested by the Lord because Satan comes to him and says, you know, if you remove the hedge around Job, he will give you up. And the Lord allows it, even to the point of allowing Job to be seriously inflicted with boils and losing his family and all his possessions. And then three friends come to him. And these three friends, if you read the notes by Bullinger on Job chapter 2, verse 11, He says that these three friends, these three wise men, if you will, that come to Job and offer him advice, that they have three different viewpoints. And the three viewpoints, Dr. Bollinger says, is Eliphaz, he argued from the standpoint of human experience. Bildad, he argued from human tradition. So the things that we know have happened over time. And then Zophar, he argued from the ground of human merit, meaning that what happens to you, good or bad, are consequences of what you deserve, what you merit, what you should have. And let's see how wise these individuals are. Now, there are 22 references here, and I'm going to go through these as quickly as possible, as quickly as Tony can probably post, which I know is quick, but probably as quickly as I can read. So the first one is in Job 4:21. It's Eliphaz, and he says, "Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom." So he's talking about people. And the word wisdom here is chokmah. It means wisdom in a good sense. It means skillful or wit or wise. And so he's basically saying that, look, their wisdom dies with them, so there's nothing left. Okay? Second example is in Job 6:13. It's actually Job who speaks. It says, "Is not my help in me? And is wisdom driven quite from me?" So he's basically challenging the others that, look, do you think that you're the only ones with wisdom and that I have no wisdom left? This is a different word, and it means to substantiate, to have support or ability, as in purpose. An undertaking or a enterprise, substance, or sound wisdom. So you think he's asking them, do you think that I am without any wisdom? Nothing to substantiate what I'm talking about. The third example, Job 11:6. This is Zophar speaking. He says, "And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee, lest thine iniquity deserveth." Okay, so remember, his perspective is that of merit, and so he's saying you deserve exactly what you get, and you deserve actually twice as much of what's happening to you because of your sin. Fourth example, Job 12:2. This is Job speaking. "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you." So Job being very sarcastic and saying, yeah, you're so smart, well, you're going to die just like everybody else, and whatever you've said is going to die with you. Fifth example, Job 12:12-13. "With the ancient," this is Job speaking, "with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding." So he's speaking of God, okay? Sixth example, Job 12:16, spoken by Job, "With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his." Seventh, Job 13:5, "Oh, that he would altogether hold your peace." Excuse me. "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." In other words, it'd be smarter for you guys to just shut up. That would be the slang of today, I guess. This is Eliphaz now. And he says in Job 15:8, "Hast thou heard the secret of God, and dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself?" So he's basically saying that, oh, you've talked to God, and you're the only one with wisdom? Again, sarcasm. Job responds in 26:3, "Hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is?" Again, sarcasm from Job. Zophar responds in 28:12, "But where shall wisdom be found? and where is the place of understanding? So actually, that's a good question. Where shall wisdom be found? Well, we just read earlier that it doesn't come from princes, as these men were. It doesn't come from the world. Where does it come from? 11th use of wisdom. This is Zophar, Job 28:18. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. And that's true, but we just heard from Ron that Simon wanted this Holy Spirit for himself and the ability to provide the Holy Spirit to others, and that he was willing to pay for it. So here again, we see that not only can that not be bought, but wisdom can't be bought as well. 12th example, Job 28:20, Zophar again. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? So he wants to know again, where does it come from then? 13th example, Job 28:28, Zophar. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now, Ron brought this up too, and his dad said, you know, where does the fear of the Lord come from? Well, Zophar says that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Is that true? Let's take a look and see if he's correct. Let's turn to Psalms 111:10. Psalms 111:10. Testing 1, 2, 3. Are you okay now? Looping bad. So you're saying it's good now? Testing 1, 2, 3. Joni can hear. There's some wows. Does wow mean good? I'm going to continue if it seems okay. So Psalms 111. Good sound. Okay, interesting. It turned my mic off is what it did, so I apologize. So I'm going to back up because I'm not sure anybody heard me about Psalms 111:10. Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Whereas what we just read from Zophar, he told Job, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. No, it's only the beginning of wisdom. So there again, he was wrong. Now let's go on to the next example, Job 32:7. This is Job speaking. I said days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. So in other words, experience, right? And now we have a new person coming on. This is Elihu, Job 32:13. He says, lest ye should say we have found out wisdom, God thrusteth him down, not man. Elihu goes on in 33:33 of Job, if not hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. So Elihu, youngest of the group, is now saying, no, let me teach you, Job. You may think you're wise, but you're not. You may think that you have wisdom from God, but you don't. I'm the one that's wisdom. Hold your peace. Here again, we have them. You know, a little kinder than what we've heard in the presidential debates, instead of each other saying each other to each other, shut up, you're a liar. Here he just says, hold thy peace. Kinder days, obviously, back then. 17th example in Job, Job 34:35, Elihu. Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. What an accusation. So basically he's calling him a liar. Elihu, Job 36:5. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. Well, that's true. And obviously he has seen this and experienced this. 19th example, guess who weighs in now about wisdom? Jehovah himself. Job 38:36. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Well, he's basically asking Job this, and who's given understanding? So this isn't sarcasm. This is just a flat-out question from the Lord. He goes on in 38:37. Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? 39:17, because God hath deprived her wisdom, neither hath he departed to her understanding. And then in 39:26, he says, doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings towards the south? Little sarcasm there. Does the hawk fly by wisdom? In other words, it's the Lord that created the hawk and its ability to fly. Hawk didn't just one day become smart and learn to fly. The word that's used here is a different Hebrew word. It's benai, and it means understanding or having perfect wisdom, knowledge. Now, let's back up a little bit. We've heard what the Lord says, but let's see where the Lord comes out on Job and his three friends. Back up to 38:1-4. 38:1-4. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that has darkened counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy lions like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And this is a great question. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Declare if you have understanding. You know, how amazing. And what does Job respond? Boy, I'm a wretched idiot. I should have never questioned you, God. But the Lord goes on in chapter 42 and verse 7. And so all of the wisdom that's been given by these three friends, all of these 22 different examples that we've just read, this is what the Lord has to say about the wisdom of these men. 42:7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. Get this now, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. And so he vindicates Job in his wisdom. He vindicates that Job did not sin more so than they would have said, you know, you're a horrible person. You have this undeclared sin within you. All you have to do is repent and the Lord will heal you. And Job said, look, I'm a sinner, but I haven't sinned so bad that this should happen to me. And I have confessed my sins. So I don't know why the Lord's on me like this. Well, that's the point. He didn't know, so he shouldn't have questioned God. We don't know why things befall us. We don't know that it's not some kind of test between the Lord and either ourselves or others, principalities and powers that are watching. Let's take a look at Isaiah as well, in terms of wisdom. Isaiah 11:2. And I'm giving you now, and I'm not sure yeah, he is. So Tony's going to post, and you can actually see what the Strong's Concordance lists as the different words that are used for wisdom here as we go forward. 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear and of the Lord. This is talking about the Lord himself. The word here is chokmah. And it is wisdom in a good sense, or skill, or wise, or wit. Let's take a look at the New Testament. And this is why I said I've got a lot of references here. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:17-31. This is Before we get to the verse that we started with, 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 31, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, opposite of wisdom. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power," this is the verse, this is the Greek word 14:11, which we'll find later is the word dunamis, which we've talked about before. "But it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Different word. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God," again, dunamis, power of God, "and the wisdom of God, because the weakness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Pretty strong words by Paul. We're going to continue now, verse 26 through 31. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring naught to things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that is according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." You know, this is pretty interesting, but very, very humbling, all right? Because if we are called, if we are chosen, well, then in Paul's words, we obviously are not noble, we obviously are not strong or mighty, and we are not wise as in the wisdom of the world, which I'm okay with. I would rather have that wisdom that comes from Christ. But we are, if chosen, base. We are despised. And I guess that would probably rightly describe me. But obviously we have nothing to glory in except for that we glory in the Lord. The word wisdom that we see here is 4678 in the Greek. It is a different word. It's Sophia. It means wisdom as in a spiritual wisdom. James 3, 13 through 18. James 3, 13 through 18. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish." That's the wisdom of men. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now, I'm going to make one more reference about this lection. What are we seeing in these debates? What are we seeing in the media? We are seeing confusion, chaos. We are seeing everything about envy and strife, and this is not the wisdom of God. If we want to vote correctly, then we have to have the wisdom of God that cometh from on high, and that's what's going to bring peace. Let's take a look at Ephesians And we're going to look at a reference in Colossians, and that'll end up our discussion about wisdom. Ephesians 1, 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Okay, so we are chosen, which means we are base, because we've got nothing to glory. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he chose us only for his good pleasure, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Same word, Sophia. And prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, now we've been hearing that from Ron, dispensation, a different time, a different stewardship, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So this is that wisdom, Sophia, and it comes with prudence as well. Ephesians 3, 9-11. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. This is Paul's mission, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So this wisdom is tied to the church. It's tied to an eternal purpose. It is tied to the mystery which was given to Paul. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. This is not the wisdom of man, in other words. This is the wisdom of God. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. What a great prayer. The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow, what a great prayer that is. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This wisdom allows us to walk worthy. This wisdom gives us understanding, spiritual understanding, not man's or the natural man. And therefore, we can be fruitful. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. This is the Greek word 2904. It is not the Greek word 1411. For all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So this word power here is the Greek word kratos. And it means vigor. It means dominion, might, power, and strength. And Tony, thanks for keeping up, man. You are doing awesome. I hope you've got track shoes on. We're doing good on time. So now that we've transitioned to power, let's take a look at this power, because when we started in 1 Corinthians 2:5, and it said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power here is the Greek word 1411. It is one that we have taught about frequently, dunamis, and it is this power, this miraculous power, that is the same power that came with Christ and his resurrection. Let's take a look at a couple of Old Testament references first. Let's go to Exodus 15, 6 through 8. Exodus 15, 6 through 8. Now, we know what this is talking about. This is where they are walking across the Red Sea. It says, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy, and in the greatness of thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, as the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The Hebrew word here is koesh. It is from the root word of firm or vigor. It means force, or translated force. It has to do with might and power and strength. Sometimes that power comes from wealth or substance, but that's not necessarily here. In 1 Chronicles 29, 11 through 12, it says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power." This is a different Hebrew word. "And the glory and the victory." The greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. Two different words. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. The Hebrew word 1369, a different word, has to do with force, majesty, might or mighty, an active power and strength. Let's transition to the New Testament, and we're going to spend some time in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 23 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal dunamis power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Isn't that exactly true? As you look at creation and you see the power that it took to create them, we know that God exists. Therefore, man who says there is no God, or says that believing that is foolishness, as if they are wise, it is foolishness. But it is the power of God that's demonstrated in creation. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Again, foolishness is the exact opposite of wisdom. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie." The truth of God is wisdom. "They turned it into foolishness," or a lie, "and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." You know, one of the greatest passages about idol worship in the Old Testament talks about how foolish they are. They cut a tree down. They take half of it and warm themselves by the fire and cook their bread on it. And half of it, they create an image carved out of the same tree, the same wood, and then they worship it as a god. So they burn half their god. And where's the wisdom in that? How is it that they think that this is something that represents a god at all? We worship the invisible God. Let's move to Ephesians 1, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 1, 19 through 22. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power," dunamis, power, "to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he was the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might," dunamis, power, "and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." The Greek word 2904 is kratos again. It has to do with power and strength and vigor and dominion and might. But we also see the word exousia, which is 1849. It has to do with force or capacity or competency, mastery, superhuman. It has to do with authority and jurisdiction. power and strength. And then we have dunamis, which we've already talked about. It has to do with a miraculous power of strength and mighty, a wonderful work. We're not going to conclude in the next two verses, but we're going to conclude our looking at New Testament power, Ephesians and Philippians. Ephesians 3:20 says, "May we be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." Note four dimensions here, not three. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, because of the depth and the height, that he might be filled with all, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power," the dunamis power that worketh in us. Last reference on power, Philippians 3:10. "That I may know him and the power," the dunamis power of his resurrection, "and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And so we see this power of God has to do with this dunamis resurrection power. Which is stronger, the wisdom of men or this dunamis resurrection power of God? I want to look at one last contrast about wisdom from the Old Testament. We're going to go back now to 1 Kings 4:29, and we're going to see who Solomon was and what was given to him of God. Well, he got exactly what he asked for. Kings 4:29, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." He was considered the wisest man in the world. 1 Kings 4:34, "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, for all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." In fact, the Queen of Sheba came to him, and when she met him, she said, she marveled at him and said, "I had heard of you. I had heard of your wisdom, but I only heard half of what is truly here. They only could tell me of half of this incredible wisdom that you have." But remember, this is the wisdom of man. It was given by God, but it was still the wisdom of a man. And we see this in Ecclesiastes 1:17. These are Solomon's own writings. He says, "And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases the knowledge increases sorrow." And if we go on to Ecclesiastes 2:3, "I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine." Oh, that's wise. "Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life." So in his great wisdom, he thought it would be appropriate to understand the folly of men, the pleasures of men, and how wine, and so he endued himself with wine to find out this folly. So again, the wisdom of man. Now it says in 1 Kings 11:3, and I'll just end with this about wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon, because it says, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." So let me ask you, exactly how wise was Solomon after all? And there you have the wisdom of men. Smartest man in the world, but he takes on 1,000 women to manage. I got to tell you, that is truly the wisdom of men, and that's as good as it gets. And here we are, and I'll conclude with these couple of statements. that we are in very difficult times, challenging and filled with noise about chaos and the lying words of the wisdom of men that they call man's wisdom. It's politically charged. COVID fears, unemployment, economy is volatile. We see protesting, looting, and chaos. Let me ask you, who is the author of chaos? Who is the author of deceit and lies? There is no wisdom of men that is righteous. We learned that in this study. Therefore, remember who is ultimately in control and lean not on your own understanding. Focus on God and he will lead you to make the right choices. He is still in power, the power. And he will set up or he will tear down any power, any authority of man. We have dunamis power. We have resurrection power. Access it through his word and feel the power of that resurrection. We don't have the spirit of fear. We have the power of his might. And so as you think of these challenging times, remember it's not man's wisdom that you hear. It is folly. It is vanity. But rely on that power that comes from God. The wisdom comes from his word, from his Holy Spirit, and not from me, not from any other teacher, but only through his word. And his word comes from Christ. And so, with that, I conclude, and I'll open the mic. But if you have any questions, I don't have any wisdom to answer them with. But let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom that comes from on high. Thank you from your power that comes from the resurrection of Christ. We are thankful for that, that we can endure these times. We know that you are still in control, and we love you for that. We love you for how you have taken us who are base and have made us to be able to sit with Christ in the heaven above heavens, who is at the right hand of God. We praise you and exalt you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.